This is AM 580, and it's time now for us to find out what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. With our opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time in Kansas City. December wheat opened at 8:45, up 16 on the open. March, 8:56, up 9 3/4. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 8:41, up 15 1/2 on the open. March, 8:60, up 15 1/2. May, 8:19, up 14 1/2. July, 6:85, up 9 1/2. September, 6:89 1/2, up 9 1/2 on the open. December corn opened at 3:68 1/2, up 1 1/2 on the open. March, 3:84 1/2, up 1. May, 3:95, up 1 1/4. July, 4:03, up 3/4. September, 4:07, up 1/2. December of next year, 4:14 1/4, up 1. March of 2009, 4:20, down 1 1/4 on the open. November beans opened at 9:87, down 4 1/2 on the open. January, 10:06, down 4 1/4. March, 10:19 1/2, down 3 3/4. May, 10:20, down 6 1/2. July, 10:26, down 5 1/2. November of next year, 9:78, down 4 3/4 on the open. December soybean meal opened at 2:78, down 10 on the open. January, 2:79.30, down $1.10. December soybean oil opened at 41.02, up 3 on the open. January, 41.38, down 10. At the Merck, October live cattle opened at 95.50, up 10 on the open. December, 97.70, unchanged. February, 99.50, up 10. April, 98.95, up 2 1/2 on the open. October feeders open at 112.30, up 5 on the open. November, 112.50, up 27 1/2. January, 112.25, unchanged. March, 112.35, unchanged on the open. December lean hogs open at 57.35, down 2 1/2 on the open. February, 63.60, unchanged. April, 67.90, down 2 1/2. May, 73.20, down 30 on the open. And February bellies open at 84 even, up 102 1/2 on the open. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
A week ago, we were talking about the wheat market being your key to the complex, the grain complex in general. And, of course, this past week we saw a head and shoulders top invaded to the downside. I'm looking at the lead option December contract right now, and it has mightily tried the last several sessions to get up above that neckline. Is wheat going to get that job done? And if it doesn't, what does that imply for your strategies?
We've got a lot of prayer candles around the office right now, Dave. We're in trouble with the fire marshal probably because we're praying for that wheat pretty hard right now, not to break that head and shoulders trend line and neckline. But, yeah, the retracement level and the neckline are both being tested right now. I think we need to step back maybe a little bit here on today's trade in particular because it seems like the markets that have rallied this week are seeing profit taking across the board. Not too surprising given some of the gains we've seen, not too surprising given that the stock market and the equity markets are starting to get a little bit flustered again. We're starting to see the bonds get bought as a safe haven. So not to sidetrack or sidestep your question, but the wheat is finding very good support today on some Russian news, and I think just a pure lack of selling and the inability to push much below that 820, 825 level. So today's low in the DEES futures of 833 is really important because if all the other markets go down, like the corn, the beans, the crude, the gold, the Dow Jones, and the dollar firms up here, and yet the wheat can maintain a close above 835, 840, and we don't have to go through today's low of 833 on this other commodity weakness, we will take that as a very serious implication that it's not done going up yet, that there is a chance for this wheat to find a bottom here and get some shorts to cover.
And certainly all you've said, we can add a little piece of fundamental news that Egypt also was in the wheat market for U.S. this week.
That's exactly right. And Morocco followed through. We're thinking that maybe Turkey will be back. We're trying to patch things up with Turkey politically. I think that was a big issue with the export market and why a lot of the based upon some of the people we talked to in the world import-export business, they pulled bids because they saw the Turks do that as well. So I think the world market at the beginning of this week was thinking wheat was going lower, and if we can change this technical scheme and see that in light of a big down day and some of these other big commodities that have been rallying while wheat's been going down, then maybe the world buyer will come back to the table next week.
So if wheat does break the 833 mark to the downside on a settlement basis, what does that imply for the marketplace in your mindset?
Long-term trend line of sub $8 is probably going to be tested right below $8, right above $8, and I would suspect the trade will get fairly fired up to push below $8 by a decent amount, meaning maybe 20, 25 cents, to really try and to stand on this and pound it down and you know, make a long-term high get put in place here and break that weekly uptrend line and the weekly 10-week moving average.
And what does that mean for corn and beans?
Well, it takes away from the medium term for corn because we do have confirmation after the last few weeks that the food demand for wheat was pushed into maize, pushed into milo, pushed into the corn category, and yet we've seen this big break in wheat. And if we go back down below $8, even with the high freight rates, even with a pretty decent basis of the Gulf, we suspect the human consumption for wheat will turn back towards wheat and away from maize and away from the sorghum side of the equation. So I think what it does is just takes away your best buddy if you break this chart down and break the overall trend to sideways in wheat and no better than sideways from a weekly and monthly chart perspective. Then you got to say to the corn, well, we've lost another friend here as far as what leads us higher.
Let's turn our attention to the beans. Crude oil overnight, all-time highs, 90.07, the tick that I looked at. U.S. dollar all-time lows overnight, gold 28-year highs, soybean oil yesterday 23-year highs. Is there any reason not to believe that November beans make new contract highs before they go off the board?
I think there's plenty. You know, we've got four things. You're sitting at 950 cash, and that is historically very high given this time of year. We think we are due for a crude correction. I think all the technical indicators we look at on the short term, whether it's momentum or stochastics, all the technical indicators say there's more downside than there is upside right now, even with some of the big powerhouse names out there in the economic world saying $100 plus crude prices before Christmas and things like that. The technicals would say it's going to be a fight to get up there. I think the other thing goes back to we've got a wetter Brazil forecast, especially for Mato Grosso. And I think the other key thing for today in particular is not just the bean oil and how it reacts with crude, but you know, on Friday's close for Nov beans, we were sitting at 976¾. Guess what? That's where we've been here today again, too. So I think farmers probably, you know, if we've got bean verticals on the Novembers, which we really like, bought 960, sold $10, I think those are great positions. But for the farmers that came in on late and just outright bought some calls, we're going to be watching this daily close here pretty closely, Dave, because we don't want the options to erode in the November. But if you're sitting there with, you know, 50% or less of your cash beans sold, realize the technicals are pointing higher. Realize that if we go above the contract highs, you've got maybe a $2.13 swing objective up to about $11.35. If you get all these other factors we just mentioned going your way and the technicals going your way, that's really nice. But by the same token, you got 950 beans right now. So what that says to us is do the opposite of what you've done in the corn and go ahead and let the cash go here and buy a January call. You're not going to know for about 15 or 20 cents whether the technicals are done for or not. So use that 15 or 20 cents on reownership and get that 950 bean price locked in on the cash.
And I imagine we go out and look at 08 and do some hedging there too.
We will. And, you know, USDA's numbers yesterday is causing us to crunch a lot of numbers here internally. And if we do see a top in the front-end beans technically, can't get through that 10.17¾ contract high on the composite chart, that's an immediate signal to go from a third sold in 08 beans for us up to 50%.
All right, then let's turn our attention to corn, where we've been keeping a close eye on the day charts only to see if a gap is going to get filled that was left over. Overnight we came very close to filling it, didn't get it done. We're not doing it today though either.
No, and I think corn has told us since the report that it is going to be pulled in the direction of wheat and beans. Mm-hmm. And if wheat and beans are going opposite each other, corn's probably going to tread water. I think the best thing that we can provide to the listener today versus last Friday is the trader psychology in Chicago is notably better than last week when it comes to corn. I think a lot of that goes back to the increasing demand idea, and that came from the idea that the basis is improving so nicely for the producer. And I think the trade's probably gotten off the kick a little bit more that the ethanol is a negative factor, that's priced in Our actual gasoline blending of ethanol rose 2.6%. Department of Energy data came out this week showing that. It shows that the third quarter is over and the seasonal weakness is probably over. So the trade's kind of off the big supplies and decreasing demand type mindset, probably looking more at increasing exports and actually maybe even a smaller crop coming up here. That the biggest crop that of $13.3 billion from this past month is probably the biggest we're going to get. So it has seen a change in psychology, but we still categorize it as a leader, as a follower.
Yeah, and the RBOB ethanol spread seems to be narrowing, too.
It is, and you know, that just encourages more ethanol blending, and whether it's discretionary blending, and that's what we're talking about here, that has shown a big increase, and that's a real good point.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us every Friday on the Opening Commodity Market Report. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. The time now is 10 o'clock Central Time.